Welcome to the VU Tourism Podcast, and I'm Coach Bento Williams. The VU Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. Episode 67 of the VU Tourism Podcast is an exclusive with Kenya's Cabinet Secretary of Tourism and Wildlife, Najib Balala. He discusses how Kenya's tourism sector managed the effect of the coronavirus pandemic and identified three pillars as essential for a sustained tourism sector recovery. Honorable Minister, and welcome to the Tourism Podcast.
Thank you very much, Kojo.
How is Kenya?
Kenya is good. We are trying very hard, like everybody else, to manage the pandemic. We have almost under 1,900 people who died and 107,000 people who are infected. Our infection rate is recovery. Is about 85% recovery rate. So far we are doing that. Yesterday we imposed new rules because we have seen the third wave globally might reach to Kenya. So we are trying to be as strict as possible and then be able to benefit from the measures that we have put in place. But so far, it's been tough, both economically, both people are fatigued, but also people realize that if they don't do these measures now, it will be worse like other places in the world.
Okay.
But it's tough times.
Okay, thank you, Minister. Now, on the same measures, can you give us a sense of what the tourism sector measures that were taking and how the sector in Kenya fared under your leadership?
Well, we used to be 10% of the GDP contributing to our economy. Unfortunately, tourism has been affected globally, not only in Kenya. We have almost 70% decline in terms of both revenue, in terms of passengers is over 80%. So the passengers that are coming are either coming on essential business or very few who come for leisure tourism. But it's been tough because also Europe is closed now. Nobody is traveling as freely as they want. We have focused on the domestic tourism. The domestic tourism has done very well so far, although it has its own issues, the issues of price sensitivity, product, and also the taste of the domestic market is different from the international market. So our industry is so far has been very supportive and tried their best in the circumstances to make sure that they serve the domestic market. But also it's a market that we can't ignore even after COVID. But also the domestic market will never replace the international market. So we have to balance both ways. But yes, this is a time for rethinking, reinventing ourselves. And that's exactly what we are putting together as a government, but also as a private sector, because this is a time when we do all the thinking and the transformation. When the world opens up, then definitely the world wants to see a different tourism, and anybody who has an illusion of opening up very soon or when COVID goes, it will be business as usual. No. The client has changed, the desires have changed, many things have changed, and that's why we need to focus. There are three fundamental issues that we have seen, I have observed, we need to look seriously. One is technology, the use of technology post-COVID. Number two is the element of safety and health will be paramount, yeah? And the number three, the way we market and the way we develop products needs to be different. So these are the three key things that I personally see that we need to consider before the world opens up after COVID.
Definitely, we need to rethink and reset. But let me take you back a little bit. And I recall that, at the start of COVID, the president had announced some stimulus packages for the, for the economy and then for the tourism sector. How much did they commit to Kenya's tourism, the government of Kenya?
Well, the government of Kenya committed to save the situation economically is about 53 billion shillings. That is almost 50 billion dollars. And then also the effect of COVID in the last 1 year is over 500 billion shillings. So the effects are higher. The contribution the government has played is 10% of that effects from the of the GDP. So the government tried its best. For tourism specifically, we benefited about $50 million. $30 million has gone to the hotel industry directly in soft loans with a 10-year repayment plan, 5% interest rate, and a 2-year moratorium. And then $20 million has gone to conservation, where all the frontline workers who protect our wildlife and our natural heritage, that is wildlife, salaries were taken care of by government. So this is the role that government has played, as well as initially we gave a reduction of taxes. Like VAT was reduced from 16% to 14%. Corporate tax was reduced from 30% to 25% for a period of almost 10 months. So that has helped also the entire country. And also the threshold of $250 salaries per month, they were not paying any taxes up to today and also for the future. So no government taxes on a threshold of $250 monthly salary. So they can be able to have spending power to the essentials. But government has done a lot by making sure that all the congested settlements, you can call them slums, but this is low cost areas. They have security, they have water, they have infrastructure. We also supplied weekly funding for people who are not employed for a period of almost 1 year now. So it has been working. We try to do as much as we can. We are not a very rich economy in terms of minerals. But Kenya's economy has managed to take care of its population.
Which part of the tourism policies, because you did mention three key areas as a takeaway from your perspective, but as a policy wing of the government, I mean for tourism, which part of the policy do you think that, if anything, I thought that we can pick from COVID, is a silver lining that would impact how Kenya would like to rebuild back better?
Well, in terms of policies, we are also reviewing all our policies across the board. Institutional realignment of government, for example, parastatals and government agencies, we are restructuring that. We are changing the policies both in wildlife conservation as well as tourism management. How do we become more proactive, and how do we change things like technology and service as well? We are also doing a major restructuring of our human capital through Talii College. There's a task force that is ongoing. It should give me the report by end of this month of what should be done to our biggest training institution, the Kenya Utalii College. And this is Kenya training institution is the biggest in Africa. So how do we transform it to be even better? So we are doing an overall revamping of our policies as our laws as well. So we are starting with policy, then definitely sessional paper number one of 2020 for wildlife has been approved by Parliament. Now we are going to the legal framework. How do we change the laws? So we are in that stage now.
Okay, Minister. Now, Minister, I mean, you are the chair of the Executive Council of UNWTO, and we know that this last year, 2020, was expected to be very buoyant year for the tourism sector. If you are to rate the work of the Crisis Committee in helping shape the tourism course amidst COVID, what would you say?
Well, first of all, UNWTO did a great job by bringing people together. Global coordination was lacking, and alignment of those policies. So the world was not talking to each other. It was talking in parallel with what to be done. So we had a lot of confusion, but thanks to UNWTO, we managed to bring people on board. I like what has happened. We have now ICAO, we have IATA, we have ACI, and then we have IMO. Yeah, so these are big organizations that now are working together, sharing information, talking to each other with WHO as well. So these are things that I think we need to sustain them, because this is a global pandemic. It's not about a country. It's not about a region. Yeah, so it has affected all of us almost equally. But the way we manage them is the effects is being felt. So we need to coordinate together to be able to manage the situation. So that is one thing which I have really admired the leadership of UNWTO has done.
Now, let me take you back a little bit to Utali College. And
yes,
a week ago or 2 weeks ago, you met the leadership and you announced some raft of measures that the institution is supposed to undergo. Can you shed more light on that?
Well, first of all, we need to rethink how do we do training. Definitely, Utali College has played a major role. It still produces very good quality of students. But I think the whole vision and mission of Utali College was designed in 1970s. We need to now remodernize the training systems. We need to do the audit the curriculum. We need to have partnerships. We need to modernize our hardware and bring new software and technology. These are the things which I have in mind. And also think out of the box, or even throw the box altogether. I ask myself, why does government has to run a training school? We don't have to run training school, but we can partner with the industry so that there's no exploitation when it comes to people who cannot afford. This is the thinking that is being discussed within my office and the people I have met across my different spheres of interested parties, like private sector, government, academicians, universities. So these are the people who are telling me all these issues. So I said, well, let's debate them. Let's agree on a strategy. And that's why this task force, if you look at the task force composition, actually, apart from the chair of the task force, the rest are all private sector. Everybody is from a hotel industry, particularly in the hotel industry, and tour operators. And then we have somebody very senior from the Ministry of Vocational Training, because Utali College is a vocational institution. Yeah, we don't need to talk about high level management degrees and PhDs, but we need to talk about the masses, where they're the ones who are face of the sector, a waiter, a front office officer, the people who do the cooking, the issue of the food production. So all these people, this is where the big numbers are in the hotel industry or the tourism industry, yeah? So those are the people who need to be given opportunity to study. The problem of Utali College, it is bloated in terms of the number of workers. We have almost 500 plus or 600 workers who are working at the Kenya Utali College. Again, I'm not too sure if the curriculum is up to date. So the task force will advise us. Yeah, the other thing is that the hardware has been designed and built in the 1970s. How do we modernize those? And all these are, it's about investment, it's about partnerships, it's about also the production of output of students who are going. Are they going to be appropriate for the job market, or do they need extra training? Currently, what I'm being told is that Kenya Utalii College produces very good students, but still they need to be refined before they finally settle in a job. So refinement can be out of experience, can be out of retraining, but also can be out of exposure. And these are things that maybe the task force needs to think. And I am very optimistic about it, and also excited that the report will give us a chance to do transformation objectively for the sake and betterment not only of the government or the industry, but also betterment of the people who are being trained. Thank you.
Minister, you've outlined very interesting, very progressive steps for tourism restart. If I'm to pin you that, how will Kenya do tourism differently going forward? What will be your touch point?
What? Again, the three things which I've just told you, Kojo. One is technology. We need to be aggressive in technology. Technology is not just about a website and just social media. Technology is much more beyond that. Selling platforms, that is technology I'm talking about. The issues of systems in the entity. Those are, and technology every day is evolved. So we need to have the latest technology in terms of the product, promotion, but also in terms of service delivery to the client. You have seen the technology in China, that biometrics. You don't need a receptionist. You don't need somebody to give you a key. Yeah, the minute you check in through biometrics, you can go into your room and check out and order and everything without. And that's a technology that is evolving and needs to be looked into. The second thing is about promotion. How do we promote the country? And how do we promote products? Yeah. And the third thing is about how do we finance products, and how do we develop products? Product development is key. We cannot have the same products that you're competing with the neighbors. Yeah. Everybody needs to have an edge over the other. For example, we have beautiful beaches here in Mombasa. We have beautiful wildlife conservation in Kenya. How do we have an edge over the rest? How do we package it well? How do we make it value for money for the clients? It's not about how cheap it is or how expensive it is. Is it valuable? Do the people feel they want to come back? I don't want to see a product or our country to be says is just ticking the bucket list or once in a lifetime. No, I think when you have repeaters, when you say people, I want to go with family, I want to go with this and that, that is people have realized the value of your product. And that's exactly what we want to do in the next year or so.
Finally, what do you think will be the tourism sector's biggest challenge to restart tourism post-COVID or even in the transition?
Currently, the biggest challenge is the aviation industry has almost collapsed. How do we revive the aviation industry? Because without aviation, there's no tourism. 50% of the global tourism is being moved by air transport, 50%. Countries like Africa or countries in Africa, almost 80% of public transport or transport is from one country to another is by air, and from international tourism it's 100% by air. So we need to have air connectivity. We need to look at aviation holistically so that we can be able to revive it and revive it faster. But without that, addressing that challenge of the aviation sector and connectivity in the continent of Africa, then there'll be no revival very soon for the sector.
Honorable, as I was my last question, but if you may pardon me here now, do we have MKT happening this year? Is it going to happen this year?
MKT is a very important regional expo for tourism, not only for Kenya, but the region. We wish we can commit this year. I don't think so. There is no predictability. There is no projection at the moment. And we don't want to go and do things and then the numbers. Despite, you can see yourself, we were very hopeful last year on the vaccine. And then you see the third wave came in with a new variant. Again, the panic came in. And I can foresee that travel will not be really big, even by end of this year, until a big portion of the world is vaccinated. And you know, different countries have different strategies of vaccinating their citizens. So, and Africa will suffer because, first of all, the supply chain is challenging. The vaccine supply chain is challenging. Secondly, even the world has not done much in terms of vaccines. I want to be optimistic. I want to be hopeful that in summer, we will see a bit of tourism happening, but it's not going to be that way. The advice I have received from McKinsey is that tourism will start reviving in 2023. Yeah, and that is when we are aggressive with the vaccine. So we have just received our vaccine batch, the first one, and we are starting with the frontline workers, health workers, security, and teachers. And then the second batch is coming in, and we want to also prioritize the elderly as well as the hospitality industry.
Honorable, you are a leading voice for tourism, not only in Africa, but also in the world. If you are to sum up, how people's lives have been jeopardized and even the whole sector, what would you say in terms of hope for tourism and how we can restart global tourism?
Well, this is unprecedented times. The pandemic has affected the world over, and nobody expected to have a shutdown like this. But human beings are resilient individuals and resilient human beings. And we want to live in hope. Definitely, tourism is key in the global economy. So I want to be hopeful, and also there are things that we have learned as lessons in terms of technology, appreciating also climate change and the effects of tourism in terms of climate degradation. And we need to have, particularly carbon emissions, we need to address those issues. The issues of appreciating the locals, I mean the local market, and people who live in these areas where tourism is flourishing. So we need to have an inclusive way of developing tourism. So those are things that are lessons, and I am hopeful. And I can tell you a lot of people have learned their lessons. And as you see, today's world is about Zoom. And today we are in Zoom. We don't have to travel much, so that will be affected. The MICE industry will be affected. But I want to say, human beings by nature, they are social, but also they are resilient, and they can reinvent themselves for a betterment in the future.
Honorable Najib Balaba, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Kojo, and regards to the Ghanaian brothers and sisters in that area.